VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of COVID subsides with infections and hospitalizations on a downward spiral, the mandates for receiving the jab have not. The military, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, are fighting to defend our freedoms. But our guest today is fighting on behalf of the military to defend their freedom. We've got this and so much more today, including information on the upcoming vote for Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. With us today, we welcome back Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's a constitutional attorney, hundreds of published legal opinions. He's authored a number of scholarly law reviews, publications, numerous books, has filed many briefs and argued in many federal and state courts before the U.S. Supreme Court. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure to be with you.
Matt, just before we delve into our topics today of the Supreme Court nominee, the shot mandates, a case that you're fighting there on behalf of the military, I just want to pause for a moment and remember what happened on this date 17 years ago, and because it was on this date, March 31st, the year was 2005, that the life of Terry Schiavo was taken by means of starvation and dehydration.
Yes. That was a tragic situation that happened right here in Florida, and she was otherwise capable of living. She just needed to be fed through a feeding tube, mm-hmm. but she was alert, she was cognizant, and she understood people when they were in the room. She understood everything in that respect. While she wasn't able to get out of the bed and walk around, she was a living human being. And unfortunately, the judge bought this eugenics idea of a very inhumane way to die, and that is to starve someone and to dehydrate them, no water. And I remember the scenes and the situations that were described back then and after having looked at it again. And, you know, when you have no water, your mouth, you just imagine when your mouth gets really dry. And it just gets so dry that it begins to crack and you're tongue begins to swell, and you have a very, very difficult time. It is a painful way to go. And she was then deprived of water and food, and she eventually succumbed. Obviously, no one can survive without water very long.
It was certainly a tragedy, and so many programs were devoted to her and covering this issue, but it indicates, Matt, the importance of having advanced directives in place, does it not?
It really does indicate that. And there was a lot of issues that were taking place there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she didn't have an advanced directive in place. And then make sure, you know, if you have an advanced directive in place, that, you know, sometimes if you go in and sign something at a hospital and you give them a, quote, advanced directive, I know I've talked to other people that work in some of these medical industries and fields, and it may not be the same for everyone, but sometimes when someone's in that very critical situation and it's an emergency type of decision as to whether or not to resuscitate or not resuscitate, for example, one of the things oftentimes happens is, do they have an advanced directive? And if it answers yes, do you think they get, do you think they go read the thing?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't. And so, you know, they might not do the extra life-saving work that's necessary, because they think that, you know, you've indicated don't resuscitate. So you've got to be very clear in those mm-hmm. situations, and you got to address, you know, whether or not you want food and water. And also, you can appoint a person, you know, like a power of attorney.
Right.
Your spouse, for example. If you don't have a spouse, appoint someone to make those decisions and have those conversations ahead of time.
Well, Matt, so we remember certainly that of Terry Schiavo, and I know her family is continuing to, as they started a foundation addressing these issues. The issues are many, and I know this went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's where we're going to focus right now, because this coming Monday, April 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the Senate Judiciary Committee is set to convene and to take up the nominations of various individuals. But at the top of their list, I was just on the Judiciary website, there is a vote on Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was nominated to be an associate justice on the Supreme Court of the United States. This is an individual, after all her years of Harvard Matt, and all her professional years, she could not, or maybe I should say would not, define what a woman is. Despite all the signs, she doesn't know when life begins, and she's been lenient on possessors of child pornography. Your comments on this nomination?
Well, I don't think she deserves to be on the United States Supreme Court, obviously. Obviously, her judicial philosophy is not one of original intent or an originalism, but more of an activism. And the very fact that she wouldn't define, said, I'm not a biologist, doesn't know what a woman is. You know, I would like to ask her, are you a woman? Are your daughters girls? Is your husband a man? Obviously, she knows that her daughters are girls. She's a woman. Her husband's a man.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what a woman is, but she didn't want to say what a definition of a woman is, because obviously she's thinking of this whole radical LGBT, gender fluidity, whatever it is you think, therefore you are, and you can change from time to time just by the product of your thinking, your mind. She didn't want to say something that's very common. I mean, it's pretty sad when we're living in a time of 2022 and you've got someone nominated for the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, and they can't tell you what a woman is.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that is pretty sad. That's really a bankrupt situation here. But also asked about abortion. You know, when does life begin? She doesn't know. She says she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's pretty obvious. She says, I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you when it begins. The medical science is very clear. Life begins at the moment of conception. When the egg and the sperm come together and you have that fertilization, that's when life begins. It's a very unique, once-in-a-lifetime human being that is genetically different and has all kinds of variations that's different from the next person that is born and created in the very image of God. So not knowing when life begins or not wanting to address that, not being able to say what a woman is, running from the idea of whether she even thinks that critical race theory is taught. I mean, she obviously knows it's taught. It's
mm-hmm.
taught in the school of which she serves as a school board member. You know, she has actually written an article in January of 2020, just a little less than 2 years ago, about a book that was at her coffee table in her parents' house when she grew up. And it was called The Faces at the Bottom of the Well. And it's a book that is one whose author promotes a critical race theory. And it's actually taught in the school where she serves as a school board member. Obviously, the other thing that's concerning is she's had a very long history of being very lax against child pornography and people that view or traffic in child pornography, sexual predators of children. She has a 25-year history of advocating for less punishment for sexual predators. And in some cases, for example, I mean, this goes back to when she was a student at Harvard Law. She argued that sex offender registry laws are essentially unconstitutional. She also has, in a number of cases, given far less, like in one particular case, the guidelines for the federal guidelines on this particular punishment of a person who possessed over 600 images, including videos of children. It recommended 97 to 121 months. She gave 24 months. In another case, she actually referred to the person as the victim, that the perpetrator was the victim, that the perpetrator, you know, it's hard to get the defendants mixed up here. You know, somebody who's, you know, possessing and distributing and viewing child pornography is not the victim. The victim is the people that are pictured in these videos. In another one, there was a recommendation, United States versus Chasm, 48 files of child pornography. The federal guidelines recommended 78 to 97 months. The prosecutor also agreed with that. And Judge Jackson issued a 28-month sentence. So again, over and over and over again, she's been very lax on these individuals who commit these heinous crimes. And anyone who's in law enforcement or is involved in this kind of child pornography, they know that there's a digression. When people start off, they don't start off at that level, but they digress into more debased and dark kind of pornography. And when you get to child pornography and child sexual exploitation like that, it is very, very, very difficult, from what I am told by prosecutors and others in this law enforcement area, to reform someone like that. You know, once they go down to that depth, it is a very serious issue, and it is very, very difficult to get them to reform.
Hmm. Well, Matt, the vote is coming up this Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And I see that Senator Collins of Maine, Tuesday of this week, indicated she will be in support of the nominee. We know the Senate's 50-50 split. Does this make it a done deal?
Well, it doesn't necessarily make it a done deal. There's a few pro-life Democrats. There's, you know, obviously Senator Joe Manchin is someone who says that he's pro-life. We have also some other Democrats that are coming up for midterm election. You've got a huge number of Democrats that are retiring and they're not running for election this coming midterm. I think there's a reason why. But there's a number of these that are in these sort of purple side. They're not really all Democrat. They're not really all Republican states. They're coming up for the midterm. And they're going to have to face the voters. So I think it's not a done deal. It's very disappointing, but not surprising that Collins, very pro-abortion, unfortunately, Republican, ends up coming out endorsing her and says that she's going to vote in favor of her. But I don't think it's a done deal at this point.
And it's imperative, really, for our listeners to reach out to their senators.
Absolutely. Call your senators and tell them your opinion with regards to this nomination. Now, the thing is, you might say, well, obviously Biden is the one who nominated. He'll just nominate somebody else. Yes. And will it change the votes necessarily on the Supreme Court? In most cases, not. But she is far left of the current replacement, Stephen Breyer. So she's left of Breyer. So this is not just a one-for-one replacement, if you will. This is someone who is to the very radical left of Justice Stephen Breyer, who's retiring.
Friends, the Senate switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. To get their specific phone numbers, you can go to senate.gov and look up the senators, and you'll find unique numbers to your two U.S. senators. But again, that's switchboard number 202-224-3121. As this critical vote coming up on Monday in the Judiciary Committee, and then if it goes past this committee on to the full United States Senate, where the vice president does hold the tiebreaker vote at this particular time. And Matt, just one other comment on this before we leave, and that is recently we saw Justice Clarence Thomas go into the hospital with needed medication for infection and so forth. But my, how the left was gleeful, hoping that something would happen to him so that Biden would get another pick for the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, we're really that close as far as seeing this court turned back to what it once was.
Yes, we are very close. And Justice Thomas is a brilliant man.
Hello, Matt. Okay, we just lost our guest here, Matt Staver. We're going to try and reconnect with him once again. Matt Staver with us. And folks, keep in mind that the vote is coming up this Monday in the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. And that number, 202-224-3121, or you can go to senate.gov and get the specific numbers. We're up just finishing our first segment here. Matt Staver is our guest for a Crosstalk, and tell you what, we'll reconnect with him, and then we're going to be picking up some other issues as well, as they are involved very much in the a military case as well regarding shot mandates. So we'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as unique as the giraffe is, how did it get its long neck?
Chris, an evolutionary story has it that during drought, those animals with long necks could eat leaves higher up in the trees. They survived while the others went extinct. Even though this story is told and retold in evolutionary circles, it's not even a little bit true. The giraffe has many precise design features to support its body style. For instance, a heart which will pump the blood all the way up to the head, and then traps in the blood vessels to keep the head from exploding when the giraffe puts his head down to drink from the lake. There's much more to a giraffe than just a long neck. Everything about him is designed to be just this. Modern-day giraffes are very well adapted to the environment to fill an ecological niche. They were designed to do so. They did not evolve. And that's how I see it from a back-to-Genesis perspective.
For more on Genesis, visit us on the web at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and joining us back, Matt Stavery here from Liberty Council. Matt, do we have you with us?
Yes, I'm back. We had a power outage for some reason.
Whoa. Okay, right in the middle of that sentence there. Folks, again, keep in mind that vote is coming up this coming Monday, and to reach out to your two U.S. senators. Matt, let's turn the corner here, and I know our military is fighting to protect our freedoms, but you're fighting to protect their freedoms, and there has been much that has developed over the last several days. And in cases that you've been involved in, but maybe we can just have you just give us, first of all, a definition of the case known as Navy SEAL 1 versus Austin.
Yes, this is a case that includes all members of the various branches of police representatives. And we're seeking what's called classification so that anyone in any of the six branches of the military, which includes the Space Force, that have submitted these religious accommodation requests.
Matt, we're kind of losing you here on the phone, so if you just make sure you're talking right into the mouthpiece there.
Yes, I'm talking into the mouthpiece now, but this really, I think, is a very critical case. We're working with representatives from all of the various branches of the military against these shot mandates that have been imposed by Joe Biden and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. And what these shot mandates do, they're very abusive, Jen. They're telling these men and women to get the COVID shots. What we now know is that they're neither safe nor are they effective. These individuals, thousands of them, object because of their religious beliefs, particularly because of the association of these shots with aborted fetal cells in their testing and development phase. They also are researching the safety and efficacy, and it's neither safe nor is it effective in preventing transmission. That's a given that it's not preventing the Omicron transmission. What we also know is that there are more people. This is a startling, but it's an indisputable fact. There are more people in the military, Jim, who have died in 1 year, 2021, from the COVID shot than have died in 2 years from COVID.
I need to have you repeat that because that seems like a very startling fact here.
It's a very startling fact. There are more men and women in the United States military, the various branches of the military, that have died in 1 year, 2021, from the COVID shots than have died in 2 years from COVID. More people have died of COVID over a two-year period than, I should say, more people have died in a one-year period from the shot than have died over a two-year period from COVID itself.
You're talking about military members.
Members, mm-hmm. And these are individuals who would be the least likely to have any adverse reactions from COVID because they're younger and they're a healthier generation by and large, particularly the pilots. But pilots, for example, they are getting myocarditis and pericarditis at significant rates. But again, the shots have killed more in 1 year than COVID has killed in 2 years in the military. And how do we know that? We know that from the actual statistics from the Department of Defense itself. They track how many people have died from COVID. That number is around 93. That's in all the branches. And some of those were early on with very little treatment or knowledge about what was going on with COVID. And then we also know from the VAERS database, the CDC VAERS database, which includes deaths from COVID, and you can search that with regards to military deaths because they're logged as military as well. You do that, the number of deaths in VAERS exceed in 1 year the number of deaths from COVID over 2 years.
Mm.
So we know that they're not safe, and that's a startling number. What we also know is that that's happening in the military, if that's a statistic in the military, then that's likely true for the civilian population as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because the military is going to be a healthier group generally, and if they're dying at a higher rate from the shot than they're supposed to.
Oh, we're losing you again here, Matt.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I think it's likely an extrapolation that you can use with regards to the civilian population as well, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But what we also know, for example, we had an individual testify in our case, Jim, that he's 39 years in the military. 2023 would be 40 years. He is not going to make it to 40 years. He is a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. He is a medical doctor, a flight surgeon. He trusted the mantra of safe and effective. Unfortunately, he didn't do his own research at the time. He took the Moderna shot, and now he has demyelinization, which means that his protective covering on his brain and his nerves is melting away, if you will. It's kind of like having plastic melted away from the shorts and malfunction. That's what happens when it does that to your neurological system. And that was a direct injury from the Moderna shot. And that's been documented by the military. So he'll not reach his 40th. He'll have to retire in May. In fact, he'll retire fairly soon.
Yeah.
As he works on the border, that he's seen a number of people die or injured, young soldiers from the shot. And he also said this, interestingly, he said, of the people that are on the border, the men and women of the military, about 15%, if you're looking at 100% ratio, 15% of those that are getting COVID have not received the shot. Guess what the percentage is of those who are getting COVID who have received the shot? Well, it makes up the 100%. About 85% of the individuals who are getting COVID have not only received the shot, but they've received the boosters as well. So higher percentage of people, 80-85% of those that are completely with all the shots and the boosters are getting COVID, and about 15% are getting COVID that did not have the shot. So what we're seeing is that the shots are actually hurting your innate immune system and making you more susceptible not only to getting COVID again, but to other serious conditions such as cancer.
Okay, we've got you lost her again, Matt. You don't have your power back there yet, do you?
No, we don't.
Okay. Okay. We kind of get you coming in and out here just a little bit. But so what you're saying is that the numbers are just the immune systems or something are being impacted by the shot itself?
Yeah, the immune systems are being impacted. In fact, I have presented testimony in our case, Navy SEAL 1 versus Austin. And the testimony showed that what happens is the mRNA or the DNA shots, particularly mRNA, in order to have a longevity of life, because mRNA doesn't last very long in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to extend the life expectancy, if you will, of this artificially induced mRNA into your body, you protect it. You have a carrying case, if you will, and it's called a lipid nanoparticle. And that's the protective covering around the mRNA so that it has a longer lifespan, so that it gets to various parts of your body. What it does is it bypasses your natural immune response system, and it goes to all parts of your body, and it ultimately creates about a trillion or several trillion spike proteins. So it's much, much different than the COVID itself. And so what that does is it breaks down your natural innate immune system so that your body doesn't have the same kind of immunity that it did before the shot, and therefore you're more susceptible to getting COVID again. That's why I've seen all these so-called breakthrough cases.
Right.
That's why it's not protecting you against Omicron and so forth. But in addition to that, it also stops your natural immunity or interferes with it with regards to development of other diseases, including cancers. And so what we're seeing, for example, are people who cancer-free before the shots, but then after the shots are developing these rapid onset of cancer that they never had before.
Mm-hmm.
There's also other kinds of conditions, neurological conditions, myocarditis, heart condition,
mm-hmm.
fertility conditions. And what we may also be seeing, since there is a high concentration of these COVID shots in the ovaries, is could be in first generation that's getting the shots, but it could be more like the drug and many people, some of your listeners will know about this, the DES drug. The DES drug was something that was given, and it took us 40 years to figure out that it was bad. It didn't cause problems in the first generation. In other words, it didn't cause the same extent of problems of the person who took it, the woman who took it. But it also passed down to the second generation. So now what we're doing in the United States are injuries in the second generation from the DES. Down through that generation. We may also be seeing this with regard to these COVID shots as well.
Matt, I know, too, I've seen a warning coming out from a frontline doctor talking about the anticipation this fall of a large number of people who've gotten the shot to come down with AIDS, not HIV AIDS, but another form of acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and they're fearing that this may come about.
Yes, in fact, there are available studies that are addressing that as well now and raising concerns, and that is a very serious issue that it can also trigger this HIV and make you more susceptible to having HIV. Again, HIV is an immunological deficiency syndrome, so various kinds of development of that. Mm-hmm. And when you have your innate immune system ultimately damaged, and then you have some of the components of these shots are to creating this susceptibility.
Hello, Matt. Okay, it looks like we just lost Matt here again.
This is why, Jim, we originally raised concerns about this shot, and that is you need at least 5 years. It's generally 10 years to develop a vaccine, and then 5 years at least of which is the testing.
Yeah.
Why do you need 5 years? Well, you need to be able to test a broad enough group, and you need to be able to test the longer effects. And even sometimes in 5 years, you can't see how long it's going to affect future generations, mm-hmm. like the second generation, for example.
So you have filed this lawsuit on behalf of members of the military, and I believe you were seeking class action status. What is the status of that?
Yeah, we're still pending. The Supreme Court, about a week ago on Friday late evening, they issued an opinion out of a Texas case involving Navy SEALs. Now, we have Navy SEALs in ours, but that case out of Texas is only, about 35 Navy SEALs. And the Department of Defense wanted the injunction stayed, wanted it to be paused. And unfortunately, what was assumed in the case is they paused a provision that it doesn't apply to military employment.
Yeah. Matt, we're getting significant breakups here again here on the phone. I tell you what, we're just up against a break. Matt Staver with us here from Liberty Counsel, and our phone number, we'll try to reconnect with Matt here once again. This is Crosstalk, and folks, let me give you out that Senate phone number, though. It's 202-224-3121. This is Crosstalk.
VCY America is making available Ray Comfort's DVD that is causing evolutionists and atheists around the world to become unglued. Evolution vs. God is a fast-moving 35-minute DVD in which Ray Comfort confronts evolutionists with a series of questions that leave them stumped and speechless about a belief system that lacks credible answers to the origins of the earth and mankind. You can obtain one DVD of Evolution vs. God for a donation of $5. 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Evolution versus God is shaking the foundation of evolutionary faith. That's 1 copy for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829 or on the web at vcyamerica.org.
You're You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, their website, lc.org. That's lc.org. And, it's been a challenge here on the phone lines today, but we've reconnected with Matt. Matt, we're talking about this case, Navy SEAL 1 versus Austin. And I know it's something you've been seeking class action status. There's been some goings back and forth with the Supreme Court and other lower courts as well. And meanwhile, you've got members of the military who, I mean, they were just, you know, standing by. And there are those who are just saying, listen, we don't want that going into our bodies. You know, they are fighting for our nation's freedoms. And I know you're seeking to fight for their freedom in this.
Yeah, let me just give you a quick summary of this. We have an injunction right now for a Navy commander of a surface warship and a lieutenant colonel of the United States Marines.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeking class action, which means every person in all the branches of the military would have a similar injunction to protect them. And that injunction would be like what we have now. And that is, number one, you cannot be forced to get the shot. Number two, you cannot be discharged because you have exercised your religious rights not to get the shot. So that will protect you at this point. And that's what we're seeking to extend to every member of the military.
Yeah.
And it needs to be done soon. It's before Judge Stephen Merriday, so pray for his decision. And we have been pressing forward with that. But, Jim, here's the kinds of things that we're getting. February 22, we had a young man. He wasn't one of our plaintiffs, but he was being counseled by a chaplain who is one of our plaintiffs. He and his wife are members of the military, and this young man took his life, unfortunately, because of the pressure. It's not the only one. We have many instances where people, because of the pressure, are actually committing suicide. And so why are they committing suicide? I'm not justifying suicide. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just kind of give you a little bit of what they're experiencing. These are people who love God, they love the country, and they believe that they're called to defend our country in this way. And they're able to carry out their service for God and for love of our country. They're now being told that if they don't get this shot, they will be discharged from the military. Well, for them to get the shot, they would have to compromise their religious values. Some of those that have compromised their values because they have had these same religious convictions, they feel like they've betrayed God. So that's a whole different situation that we have to deal with. Those who are still in the military because they've compromised their values like that, they're going through some real situations right now as they're second-guessing, and they're really thinking that they let God down. But those, for example, that say, no, I'm not going to do it, they're being told they will be discharged, that all of their educational expenses have to be repaid, that their training expenses have to be repaid. And for some of those individuals like pilots or others, that can be $10, $12 million of training expenses. We have individuals who have been separated from their families. And in fact, in that case with the husband and wife, where they're both members of the military, they'd both lose their income, both lose their jobs. They'd have a hard time finding employment in the private sector because they would be discharged from the military without honor. They would have a big debt that they would have to be paying because of this penalty that you'd have to pay back your education and training costs. But they also were not allowed to travel. So if you didn't get the shot, they couldn't leave the base. So they couldn't go visit their family. They couldn't go visit their friends. We have people whose parents are in the hospital near death, and they won't allow them to leave to go visit them.
Hmm.
We have individuals whose family members have died. They won't allow them to go to the funeral unless they get the shot. We have families that are, this is just one of many, many situations, but it's repeated thousands of times. We have a family that is stationed in Hawaii, and he was going to be moved, the family were going to be moved to Florida, but they were going to stop in Alabama for some short training. So it was so short, he said, well, I'll leave my wife and my children in Hawaii, I'll do the several-day training in Alabama, then I'll go on to Florida, we'll all meet in Florida. So he gets to Alabama, and they say, well, you don't have the shot. And so, consequently, you can't go back to Hawaii where your family is. We can't give you the training here. And since you can't get the training here, you're not going on to Florida.
Wow.
And by the way, you're not going to be able to live on the base. So some of these individuals, they're basically barely making it. And, in fact, there's a stunning amount of there's research that just came out, recent research, about how many members of the military are getting at the poverty level for almost for their income for their families. They're having to get food supplements from charities and other places in order to feed their families. So it's not like they have this extra money where they can pay a hotel, because they won't, in this case, they won't let him live on the base. And also, he has no place to live. So his family's back over in Hawaii. They've got to pay for what they're doing over there to keep them in with a roof over their head. He has to go out and find a place to stay in a hotel. They don't have the money to do it. And now he's been separated for about 170 days now.
170 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's outrageous. I mean, Matt, we're talking about the treatment of our nation's finest here.
This is our nation's finest. And we're having that happen when they're stationed in Germany or Korea, wherever it might be. We're seeing that all over the country. We had, for example, another situation, and this is, I could go on and on. I'm just giving you examples of categories where a family was going to be moving from the East Coast to the West Coast. So they shipped their car and their furniture over to the East Coast. And then they said, oh, you've got a religious exemption. You can't go to your next place of employment and you can't do anything here. So they have no place to live. They have no transportation. They're living in a hotel. We have a woman that was on the conference call for our military earlier this week, on Monday, in fact. She broke down and cried, and she said that her husband's been in the military for about 18 years, 2 years more, and he'll be able to retire. Doesn't look like he's going to get to that. He'll lose everything.
Hmm.
And, in fact, what they did was they just canceled their lease on their housing on the base. They've already leased out their apartment to another group, another family, and they have no place to live within the next 30 days.
No.
She said, I don't know where she and her children and her husband are going to live in the next 30 days. They have no money to be able to find another place. This is the kind of abuse, Jim, that these people are facing. That's why some of them, they just felt so much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate what they've done to our men and women in the military. We
yeah.
have high-ranking individuals, Jim. They have to go to work, clock in, go to a room, sit in a room, do nothing all day, clock out at the end of the day. They're checked on to make sure they're not doing anything. This is psychological warfare that mm-hmm. is being waged against our finest defenders of freedom, trying to force them to get the shot when they know that the shot is killing and also injuring in staggering numbers men and women in the military. And they also know that it's not effective. So here's, you have to ask yourself the question, why do they continue? You know, when Hawaii is the last state to drop the mask mandate, and we know that we're on the other side of Omicron, we're on the down bell curve side of Omicron, why do they continue to do it? I think it's a broader agenda, and I think it's an intentional agenda by Biden and Secretary Austin to cleanse or purge the military of Christian people of faith and values, and that's what they're doing. And in fact, if you go back to the confirmation hearings of 2021 in March, Austin said he wanted to do what? Purge the military.
Hmm. Matt, there's another aspect to this as well that I know you can comment on, and that is we know the Biden administration has ordered this at the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense has mandated this for all service members now to receive the shot. I saw a column here by Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete and from truthforhealth.org. And by the way, folks, she's scheduled to be with us this Monday in Crosstalk. But she writes this, Matt: the U.S. Army issued orders to all Army commanders in the Fragmentary Order, FRAGO number 5, to the Headquarters Department of the Army COVID Operation Order, September 4th, 2021, that states commanders will ensure sufficient doses of Department of Defense approved vaccines are on hand and available for their unit. The FRAGO number 5 order for COVID vaccines is clear, but to this day, commanders are in violation of this order in failing to check and ensure that approved vaccines are on hand. Furthermore, the Secretary of Defense himself told every service member in his August 24th memo that the only vaccines for use will receive full licensure from the Food and Drug Administration in accordance with the FDA-approved labeling and guidance. But to date, there are no FDA-approved, fully licensed vaccines available to the military on any military installation in the United States or overseas. They're still using those that have this emergency use authorization, not those that are FDA-approved, fully licensed vaccines.
Now, you see, that's exactly accurate, 100%. If you go back to the August 24 memo of Austin, he said that the EUA was voluntary, the other one was going to be mandatory, those only that would be fully approved. Well, there's no fully approved vaccine available anywhere in the United States, let alone in the military.
Mm-hmm.
The military, in fact, our commander testified under oath in our case, commander of a Navy Surface Warship, that he went down to the clinic and also went to the hospital, Navy hospital, and asked them, do you have an approved version? They said, oh, well, we just consider them to be interchangeable. He goes, no, do you have an approved version? Do you have the Comirnaty for Pfizer, for example? And he said, well, let me see what you've got. They brought out the vials, and they say EUA. And EUA, that's the emergency use authorization, that means that you have a right to refuse. That cannot be forced on you. There is FDA-approved vaccine for COVID anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, frankly, because Pfizer and Moderna have not produced it. And in fact, Pfizer and Moderna specifically say, as does the FDA and the NIH, that they do not intend to produce one as long as they have EUA vials available. And there's hundreds of millions of those available. They're not going to produce it for a number of reasons. There is nothing available that is actually FDA approved. And so every one of these shots that are being mandated, all of those are illegal orders. Anyone who is ordering, and you know.
I mean, Matt, doesn't a federal judge understand that?
Well, we raised that. You know, our judge has been pretty good, but we raised that to our judge, and he just bought, in this particular case, the rhetoric of the military that says, oh, well, we just consider them interchangeable. We've now had additional medical testimony. We've had Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the RNA platform, and not the vaccine or the COVID shots, but the platform on which it was later developed.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's not available. We have put all this information into evidence. We've had both our lieutenant of the Marines, who did the same investigation, the commander of the Navy Surface Warship, who did the same investigation. And the reason why the commander of the Navy Warship did the investigation is he had been ordered not only to get the shot, he had been ordered to require other sailors on his ship to get the shot. And in order to do that, first of all, he had a religious objection to it, and he's filed that. And that has been denied, and that's why we're litigating. But secondly, he wanted to make sure that if he was going to give an order, it would be a lawful order. He didn't want to give an unlawful order. And so he looked into it, and he says, there is nothing available, so it would be an unlawful order to order the COVID shots.
My. Friends, our phone number here at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Matt Staver is with us here today on Crosstalk and the military COVID shot mandate update as he's fighting on behalf of military members right now. Perhaps you've got family members, loved ones that are in the military that are battling this very issue. Also, we've talked about the SCOTUS nominee, the vote coming up this Monday. Our number, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. How did we get where we are today in America, where we have such lawlessness? My friend, former Assistant Deputy Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Terry Turchi, declared in a television special that I hosted in November of 2021 that America is no longer under the rule of law. How did this happen? Well, one way is we rejected the belief in absolute truth in a fixed constitution based on the constitutional republic belief of the laws of nature and nature's God. Justice Holm of the U.S. Supreme Court declared, quote, the felt necessities of the time, the prevalent moral and political theories have a good deal more to do than the legal reasoning process in determining the rules by which men should be governed, end quote. Many of these individuals sitting at the highest levels of the court have proclaimed that society evolves, morals evolve, the law evolves. That's how we've reached the point we are today.
We'll be right back. That's David with us today from Liberty Counsel. Folks, their website, lc.org, and their number, 407-875-1776. Let's go to the phone lines. They're packed. Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Matt Staver, Attorney Matt Staver, for what you're doing. I would just want to suggest the power of God's word. There's a biblical antidote to those that are forced to take the shot. You know, among other places, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means hurt you." And so if they're like Daniel was thrown into the lion's den against his will, you know, and God protected him. Those who are thrown into this can invoke God's word for protection, and it will work.
Greg, thank you for that. Matt, your response.
Well, you know, Greg, it's amazing the strength and resilience of these people that we have seen. Literally, many times a week, our staff or I weep because of the incredible courage these men and women, not just in the military, but also people who have faced these situations about their job and their career over this issue, they're displaying incredible resilience and dedication and really growth in the Lord. And it's really an example and an encouragement and really a challenge to all of us to do the same.
Thank you for the call, Greg. Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question, an opinion of Matt's on my situation where I'm talking about Clarence Thomas' recusal on any case concerning the elections. Shouldn't the response be when Ruth Bader Ginsburg performed two gay marriages before they were even legal, and then she got to rule on whether it was legal to have gay marriage?
Yeah.
What's your take on it, Matt?
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I think it's a little different situation. I don't think that Justice Thomas has any reason to accuse himself because he hadn't been involved directly in any election issue or anything involving anything that Jenny Thomas has done. But what Jenny Thomas has done is not anything problematic. But certainly it doesn't implicate him. On the other hand, Ruth Bader Ginsburg had a case coming, a specific case that was actually coming to the Supreme Court. She knew it. And then she went out and publicly did and officiated at a same-sex wedding. So that is very much problematic.
Yeah.
She should have recused herself in that case. And had she done so, it would have been a 4-4 decision, meaning there would be no decision by the Supreme Court. But that's what she should have done. Much more situation of egregiousness here. I don't see any reason whatsoever for Thomas to consider recusing. That's just something that the radical group of dissenters in this country are raising for Thomas, but he hasn't done anything to warrant recusal. Mm.
Thank you, Tom. Dominique in Maquanago, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Oh, Matt, when you were talking about the military, just makes me weep on what is happening with them, and my heart breaks for them. I actually wanted to just address some of your earlier points and just agree with you about the HIV and cancer and those kind of things coming from the results of the shots. I have a personal friend who's a doctor for ages 14 and above, and she shared that her vaccinated patients who were healthy before their vaccination are now testing HIV positive and are cytokine testing with at least 3 of the 5 HIV markers. Some have all 5. 100%
wow.
of her vaccinated patients are testing positive for autoimmune problems since the COVID shots. And then I have another friend who is a 20-year physician assistant with a master's in public health, and she emailed me, quote, "I just heard this week of 2 of my former work colleagues who have been diagnosed with aggressive metastatic pancreatic cancer. One has already died. Another given only weeks to live. The CD8 cells are compromised by the jabs, and their job is to clean up cancer cells in the body. My husband also has a coworker become hospitalized this week with clots in his legs and lungs. All 3 of these folks are jabbed within the last 6 to 8 months. These results are just sickening to me, and I worry it's just the beginning," unquote.
Wow.
You know, in that latter part of what you just said, this is just the beginning. I think what we're going to find, unfortunately, is this is the biggest fraud that's ever been committed, and it is one of the biggest depopulation and genocidal types of situation that's ever been perpetrated on America and, frankly, the rest of the world.
Thank you, Dominique, for the call. We've got several stacked up here. Jim in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen, for this program. Matt, I just really appreciate your ministry. I support and try to spread the news. I send emails that you send me to my pastor's or church office, and I'm not getting the response that I'm looking for. And it's just like, this really bothers me. It's almost like, and I know a lot of people in our church have gotten the shots, and it's almost like you can't say anything about it. You can't tell people about it. And I'm wondering if my pastor is even concerned about, if he were to say these shots are not good for you, that he might be concerned about getting legal issues because if people, were hurt or whatever. Right. But, he talks about he's going to preach a word from the pulpit, which is exactly right what a pastor should do, but he says he won't talk about social issues or current events. And my thought is, you mean like sin and Bible prophecy?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, if you take away the prophets and Jesus not talking about sin and, current events and social issues, you have to eliminate a lot of the Bible.
Yeah.
But, in a situation like that, I think one of the things that COVID these last couple of years, the first year and now where we are in 2022, has made us reevaluate the churches that we fellowship in. And are they actually functioning as a church that God designed, and are the pastors really boldly preaching what they should? And, we need to have pastors that preach the word. And if they don't preach the word, find one that does.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for the call. Brad, West Dallas, 30 seconds we have left.
Hey, Brother Jim, just wanted to touch on what the one caller brought up about they should go ahead and take it because, God will pull a miracle and keep them alive. The time of sign miracles, we've already agreed, is over, and it was over before the Apostle Paul was done writing his letters. Today we're supposed to resist the evil, and what we've got now is America's finest being abused by America's worst, the deep state Democrat Party and their Marxist military commanders.
Thank you, Brad. Matt, a final comment.
Well, I think that's right. We are seeing them being abused, and I think there's an agenda to purge some of the finest from the military, and that's real concerning, especially with all the issues that we face globally.
Yeah, thank
you.
So
pray for our military. We have a website, lc.org/military, or lc.org is our general website.
lc.org/military, or lc.org, you can get there. Matt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And friends, Matt's fighting again for our nation's finest. Make sure you keep Matt, keep Liberty Counsel in your prayers. Thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.